Armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
try
any
to save
idea?
The pump. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Have any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. And simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. Janet Jackson gonna have to take a seat and watch game six. Hawks made it through another one. The Hawks are still alive.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the all-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I am doing fantastic. We've got baseball wall to wall this afternoon. The Sarge is on the way. We're going to be talking some AL East when he gets here. We're going to talk a lot about Major League Baseball today. I'm done with the NFL mock drafts. We're going to touch a little bit on the draft. We had like four left at the bottom of the second round. I was just like, man, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. So we're done with the mock draft. No one's paying attention to him anyways. So tomorrow starts off the actual NFL draft. And when we see the picks come in, we will react to them. The mock drafts are really just an excuse for us to be able to talk about the draft as it leads up. But now that it's here, I'm ready to find out who goes number one. I still say there's no way that they're not going Bryce Young. Now, I personally would go CJ Stroud, but evidently he's kind of rubbed everybody the wrong way with a lot of things that he's done. Evidently he had a no-call, no-show type of deal with the Manning camp, and that ruffled some feathers and a couple other things that he's done and scored really low on a test I had never heard of, but I guess it's basically the new version of the Wunderlich test. Okay. If that's why you want to grab Bryce Young, I can see it. Look, I don't get to sit down and talk to these guys. I have no idea what their character is. And this could be a really big situation going into a draft where you're going to put in a lot of money into a guy. If you just don't think he's a good fit, you don't think you can work with him well, then by all means, go on somewhere else. But I'm going with the body of work in college. There's no way I'm taking Will Levis over Bryce Young. And I get it. Young got to play with a lot more talented guys at Alabama than Levis did at Kentucky. But just the eyeball test to me, when you watch them play, it's not that Levis can't be a great player. It's that Young seems to be a quarterback that can step in instantly and have an impact. And that's the big difference. That's the real big difference at the end of it all. Is how long does it take to develop a guy? And I still think there's going to be some movement with that Arizona pick, the number three pick overall. Arizona doesn't need a quarterback. That's what everybody is coveting at the top of the draft. Why wouldn't you move down if you're Arizona? Now, there may be a player that they really want, but if it's me, I roll the dice and go back a few spots and get quantity over quality per se. Let's say they're really in love with Will Anderson. Okay. And that you move back. One of the rumors we've seen We've seen, I've seen a far-fetched one with Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta's going to move up. Not that far. I think they want to find out what they have with Ritter. So I'm not buying the Atlanta thing. But let's go on past that. And let's say one of the rumors we've heard is Tennessee making a trade. And they're down at the number 11 pick. And let's say you're going to move your number 11 pick to Arizona and you're going to give them like a second rounder. Why wouldn't you do that if you're Arizona? You don't need a quarterback. You can't draft a quarterback. I'll put it that way. You may need a quarterback, but you can't draft one because you've put all your eggs in the Kyle Murray basket, and there you've got to sit there and watch those hatch over the next couple of seasons. You can't just scoff at $245 million and say, go sit on the bench. So you're not drafting a quarterback there, and that's what everybody covets. If I'm Arizona, I'm moving back. Now, what they may be doing is weighing, there might be three or four teams right now that are throwing offers at them. And we may not know when Arizona is going to move back until they are on the clock. But that doesn't mean that it's not happening. I think there's a very good chance you get four quarterbacks drafted in the top five picks. But I'm not necessarily convinced that all five of those teams are currently sitting in the top five. And I'm going to rank them one last time going in. I'll do that here in a little bit because we got to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Braves. But I'm going to rank you my quarterbacks and tell you where I would take them, where I'd be willing to take them, and tell you also who the Atlanta Falcons should and will draft with that number one pick, that first round pick. All right, let's go ahead and take first quick scheduled break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Braves, talk about a great night last night, what they got on deck tonight, a tough matchup in Sandy Alcantara. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country, Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
Are you an adult?
Yeah.
And you went out last night?
Yeah.
Introducing a hangover.
What's that?
Surprise, idiot. You went out and actually had fun last night, but your body is here to remind you that's not allowed. With a hangover, you can have a light breakfast to soothe your tummy. See if drinking more will help. And finally, start your day at 6 p.m.
I went out last night for casual drinks with a friend, and now I can't even form a coherent thought.
Try it today.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive Time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Your true friends are the people in your life that totally get your inside jokes, your unique style, most important, what you want to eat. Taco Bell knows that when you get together with your real friends, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but hey, it might as well be something that everybody can get into, like the taco and burrito cravings pack with four crunchy tacos and four beefy five-layer burritos. So even if you're all sitting around doing absolutely nothing, you know you'll still have a good time. It's Taco Bell's taco and burrito cravings pack. Get it for the friends that get it.
Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., Drive Time on WQEE.
Hey,
Welcome back. Scoreboard right over my shoulder here. Quick scoreboard update. Easier singing. Baltimore 5-2 over Boston. That game is in the eighth inning, so Orioles trying to hold on to that. And then you got a couple other games going on right now. Toronto pounding the White Sox and Michael Kepik. I mean, that guy's career is, at this point, you got to put him back in the bullpen. Quit rolling him out there as a starter, White Sox. He's awful. He has only developed essentially two pitches. That's bullpen guy. And he was actually doing pretty good in the bullpen a little over a season ago. And then they decided to push him out there as a starter, and he just has never done quite what he was lived up to be. Yankees all over Minnesota, 11-6 in the eighth, and Cleveland holds a 3-1 lead over Colorado in the eighth inning as well. In the sixth, Milwaukee leads Detroit 5-2, and Cincinnati took care of the Texas Ranger. 5-3 is your final there. Okay, last night's game, real quick before we dive into tonight's game. You know, a couple of things real quick. First of all, Ronald Acuña Jr. is doing MVP-type things right now. Acuña, among players with at least 10 bats in the first inning, Acuña leads the major leagues in first inning batting average, which is .636. .636 batting average. A .667 OBP. 5 doubles and 7 stolen bases. That is incredible. That's what you want out of a leadoff hitter. Remember, there was a big debate a couple of years back on whether or not he should be a leadoff hitter, or maybe he should be in the middle of the lineup. And I think he's perfect where he's at, mainly because he's not the most disciplined player. And he's going to go through a slump. We know this is coming. But he's not the most disciplined hitter. But you get him up there, front of the lineup. First of all, you got to see him the most out of any of our hitters, which is item number one. That's what you want, number one, with the bullet. Number two, as a leadoff hitter, today's leadoff hitter is not your dad's leadoff hitter. It's not a guy who's going up there to work the count, see as many balls as he can see, try to get on, and then hopefully steal a base or get moved over by the number two hitter. Today's leadoff hitter he's a table setter, but he's also a guy that's up there to kind of set the tone and get on base any way he can. And he doesn't have to worry about seeing deep counts. Now, he's getting better, by the way. He's hit his ability to watch the counts and to go deep into the counts, I think is phenomenal considering where he was where he was just a couple of years ago, where he would hack at anything. Now you're seeing him spit on sliders on the outside of the plate. To me, that's one of the most incredible things that you see out of Ronald Acuña Jr. More than anything else, I'm more impressed by that than I am anything else. That he is developing as a hitter. He's getting much more, I guess patient would be the right word for that. But it's also he's being more precise on when he wants to swing. But Acuña, I mean, he has just been phenomenal out of the gates. And for folks who, I know that there were people, we saw him all year long last year and probably the year before, where they were out there asking for his head, wanting to trade him, all kinds of nonsense. When you have a guy who's on a very club-friendly deal, he's one of the best players in all of baseball. And let's remember, last year, Ronald Acuña Jr. was injured for most of the year. So now that he's rock and rolling, everybody's quiet about that. And I think some of it comes down to the fact that there is a section of Braves country that they don't like the flashy player. They want the guy who's always going to be humble, right? And so they're never going to accept the guy that's out there with the bravado and doing all the things that a lot of fans don't like. 5-6 years ago, I didn't like the me attitude, the pound my chest and whatnot. Now I've just getting used to it. And you just have to accept that this is where sports is going in all sports. And now I just kind of shrug and, you know, like the celebration that Jazz Chisholm had last night after he hit his home run, he was doing some goofy dance at the home plate that I normally see a lot in NBA games. It just doesn't bother me anymore. I just kind of roll my eyes and go, whatever, dude. And trust me, Jazz Chisholm is the type of guy that he will go out there and strut his stuff if his team is down 7-2 and he hits a double with two outs in the ninth. He's that guy. Because he's all about trying to promote himself. But Acuna, you'll notice, normally only does the things that he does when it's a big play in the game. If the Braves are up by a ton or down by a ton, you're not going to see Acuna really strut his stuff that much. But look, at some point, you're just going to have to embrace who Acuna is. He's not going anywhere. And why would you want him to go anywhere? He's the best player on the team right now. There are times throughout the season where you're going to be able to say Matt Olson, Austin Riley, Sean Murphy, et cetera, is the best player of the week, the best player of the night, the best player in a stretch of games. But the best player on that team day in and day out is Ronald Acuña Jr., and it's not particularly close. It can be close in pockets, but if you look at the whole scope of it, it ain't close. So you're either pro Acuña or you're anti-Braves. There's no two ways about it. Last night, another night when he goes out there, he goes 2-for-4, run scored, sets the table. It's what he's supposed to do. Now, the guy who's scuffling at the plate right now that we're really worried about, though he did get 2 walks last night, so let's not overreact, is Olson. Olson is really starting to struggle, and Riley hasn't really hit his stride either. But look, Olson, we have seen this time and time again. He is a very, very streaky hitter. And we're going to have to ride the highs and the lows. And I think he is a guy who absolutely, positively lives on timing. And all batters do to a degree. But I'm saying that Olson, when his timing is off, he doesn't have that ability at this point to fight through it. His timing is off. It's going to be a pop out. It's going to be a ground out. It's going to be a strikeout. Most strikeouts in baseball right now. And I'm not talking about the Spencer Strider type of strikeouts. Most strikeouts in baseball right now is Matt Olson. Riley is a grinder. Riley is a guy that's going to try to find a way, going to try to adjust his swing and whatnot. Olson's a guy that just kind of trusts what he does. When he hits pockets in the spring training, and right out of spring training, he was phenomenal. And I was drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit in the show leading into the season. I took Olson as the MVP for 2023, but I'm horribly wrong on that one because it's going to be Acuna. And Austin Riley is a guy, when he starts getting in his groove, he's hitting foul pole to foul pole and putting a charge into the ball. But Braves last night, game was started off with Acuna leading off with a double, stealing third, getting knocked in by Riley with a drawn in infield. And away we go. Then the home run given up, obviously, was a big blow to Jazz Chisholm. But after that, you saw Charlie Morton settle down. He goes out there, seven innings of one-run ball, only gives up three hits, and fires nine strikeouts. That's the Charlie Morton that when he's going and he's going well, he is hard to beat. He was just as good last week in San Diego. The difference is we gave them run support. Remember last week, he went, what, six, seven innings, gave up the one earned run to, it was a solo shot once again to Juan Soto. But we never scored a run that game and lost the game 1-0. Last night, we got it going. Now, Dylan Lee came in and got kind of knocked around a little bit. But hey, you're going to have these bad outings. And when these guys come in the late innings and they don't have their best stuff that night, they're not a starting pitcher. They don't have four or five innings to get it figured out and straighten it out. And you go, all in all, you had a pretty good night. You get basically three, four guys that you get to face. Sometimes a few more, sometimes a few less. But you get a very small window to go out there and rock it, and he didn't have it last night. McHugh came in, cleaned it up a little bit, and Jesse Chavez, whew, that was an absolute blast he gave up. He's starting to get knocked around. Now, the simple fact of the matter is that Jesse Chavez is in his late 30s. He's not a power pitcher. He basically has one pitch now, which is the cutter that he moves in and out. And every once in a while, he'll throw you an off-speed pitch to try to keep you guessing. But when it's all said and done, Jesse Chavez should not be in the late innings. And when we get everybody back, he won't be. Jesse Chavez will be what he was last year, your sixth inning guy, sometimes a seventh inning guy. When you look at the way they want this set up, when everybody comes back and Iglesias should be back here in the very short future, I don't think he's going to make it back in time for the Mets series, but he's about to go on assignment, and so we should get him back fairly. I'm going to guess maybe 10 days from now-ish, give or take. But the way they'll want to set it up is this. They're going to want Iglesias as your closer. You're going to want Anderson and Minter in the eighth, depending on the matchup. McHugh, Dylan Lee in the seventh, essentially. And this is obviously, these move around when you got to give guys days off, etc. And then Jesse Chavez is going to be sitting in your sixth, seventh inning. So don't panic about Jesse Chavez. He's fine. He's got a tough job to do that he really doesn't have the repertoire to do anymore. And that's going to be the key, is when we get everybody back. And we're going to be pretty close to healthy going into that Mets series, by the way. Iglesias is about the only one that we should be missing. Harris goes on for his minor league stint tonight. It'll be interesting to see when they bring him back. Are they going to try to bring him back for the first game of the Mets series, or will he not be back there till Saturday or Sunday? But regardless, he should be back this weekend. And Sam Hillier's playing so well, I'm not that concerned with it. I think one thing Braves fans can agree is that please just don't let us see Ozuna in the damn lineup this weekend against the Mets. I don't even want to see him pinch hitting. Hopefully, Travis d'Arnaud comes back, and that eliminates all of that nonsense. So when you get d'Arnaud back and you get Michael Harris back, assuming nothing else happens to anybody else, Ozuna's gone. If he's not, Snicker and Anthopoulos has got some splaining to do. I went to mention it in the broadcast last night, and I got sidetracked and forgot about it. But we've got a guy who contributes here on the show who's a big Marlins fan. And we were joking around. I think it was on air, but I could be wrong about that. It may have been off air. But we were joking around about how disappointed they are with Avisail Garcia and what they have put into Avisail Garcia and how disappointed they are. And I was like, you don't know nothing till you've dealt with the Marcell Ozuna experience. And he was talking about a straight up trade and talking about how bad Garcia is and he's just over him and whatnot. And then I realized last night in the middle of the broadcast, just doing the math and thinking about it, Avisail Garcia is now batting this morning. He's batting 161. 161. That's twice as good and more than what Marcell Ozuna's batting. He's, what was he, 073? Somewhere in that neighborhood? 078 is the highest. So he's not even half of the 161. And we're both talking about a couple of that. You don't want him in the lineup. But the one thing I can say about Avisail Garcia, and at this point, you know what? I would take a straight-up trade. I would take a straight-up trade. Pay the rest of his crappy contract. I think the one stipulation is the Marlins would expect you to pay most of Ozuna's salary. But at this point, I would take a trade on a guy who's 31 and is still a pretty good defensive player, and you could at least have a right-handed guy off the bench who can play defense and just get rid of the Ozuna nightmare. He's got two home runs just like Ozuna. 161 batting average. I get it. That's terrible. I'm not saying I'm starting him on most occasions, but I have more faith that he's going to give me a better at-bat than Marcell Ozuna will on any given day. And it's pretty bad when you're begging to grab a guy who's 31 and batting 161, but that's where we're at with Marcell Ozuna. It's an absolute nightmare. And I went to look at the box score for Mississippi today, but there wasn't anything that really jumped out on me. So Mississippi Braves, they played earlier today and they got the win. I believe it was 4-2. Yeah, 4-2. But once again, there wasn't anything to really write home about. And we're still, so tonight will be Harris's first assignment. He's going to be at Gwinnett, by the way. 7:05 first pitch. If you have the minor league baseball app, you can catch it there. I usually try to keep an eye on it when things like that are going on, so I'll put that on as well. We're going to bring the game to you tomorrow, 12:20. And then after that, we're bringing the entire Mets series. I know I've said that a few times, but I want to make sure everybody knows. We're going to bring you the entire Mets series here on Braves Country HD on YouTube. So pitch by pitch, play by play, 7:20 on Friday, 4:10 on Saturday, 1:40 on Sunday, and then it's a 1:10 first pitch on Monday, and WQE is going to carry the Monday game. So, excuse me. So we're getting ready for that. Obviously, the biggest series of the year so far, a four-game set in New York. It doesn't get a lot better. You know, and also now, think about how big these games are now when you play the Mets, because we don't play them 19 times anymore. We play them 12 times. They took 7 games off the schedule from when you used to play your division rivals. Now, across the board, that's what, 28 games. And they're taking those 28 games and putting them up against different teams throughout Major League Baseball. And I think all in all, it's great. I still would have preferred the divisions. The division setups, I still would have preferred them to go 13 to 15 games. First of all, give me an odd number so that if you give me an odd number, that means somebody has to win the division series. So if we come down to a tie at the end of the season, because they're no longer doing the play-ins. If you end up with a tie in Major League Baseball, they're doing it just like football and all the others where they just go to tiebreakers. If you're going to do that, give me an odd number of games versus my division rival so there's a clear-cut winner and loser of every single one of the series. But they're not doing that. You're getting 12, so you're getting four in New York right now. And then I was looking at this also. This is pretty interesting. After about mid-August, we don't play the Mets again the rest of the season. So the 12 games are going to be crammed in between here at the end of April, going into the beginning of May, into August. No games versus the Mets in the month of September, which is a bad job by Major League Baseball. Everybody knows the three best teams in the National League East going into this season, Braves, Mets, Phillies. And the three of them should be playing a round robin at the end of the calendar to decide who is going to win the division. And also it gives drama to the fans. It gives them something to want to watch, want to pay attention to. Even if you can't watch it, you're listening to it. You're following the box score, et cetera, et cetera. Now, don't get me wrong. It's great that we're going to finish the season off against the Nationals, 7 of the last 10 games. But is the drama there? We want drama. That's what sports fans are all about. We come to these games, to watch these games as fans, no matter what sport you're talking about, you're there for the drama. The drama unfolds, and you're there to witness it. A lot of times you're there to share it with your family and friends. But regardless, even if you're one of these folks who watches it by themselves, and I do this quite often. My wife is not a big sports fan, so a lot of times it's me and the dog, or dogs, as I should say now, as we have two, watching these games, and it's unfolding, no matter what the sport is, and it's the drama. It's fun. It's fun to watch. That's what baseball is. It's fun, and it's more fun if I was setting up the final month of the season. Braves, Phillies, Mets would play each other each twice. And that would load up your entire. So you're talking about if you did 2-3 game sets against the Mets and 2-3 game sets against the Phillies, that would be 24 of your games. Let the Marlins and Nationals play each other until they prove that they're supposed to have a good team that coming year. If they're supposed to have a good team that coming year, that's fine. Then you adjust it. But until things change, give me... I mean, if nothing else, you just go off of Pacoda rankings. You just go off of the common sense of this is the way it should be at the end of the season. And if we're wrong, we're wrong, but let's go. It's like it drives me crazy when you see it at the end of the year and they've set up like an NFL end of the season. And there have been years when it has been very, very obvious. We'll just take, for instance, I'll take a random division. We'll take the, how about we take the AFC West, and going into the year, you know, the Chiefs are going to be good. And going into the year, you're pretty sure the Chargers are going to be good. That should be how you end the season. Chiefs versus Chargers. You might get it wrong. But then whoever they didn't play before then, they should lead up to each other. So the week before, the Chiefs should be playing the Raiders. So on and so forth throughout the division. Should do the same thing in baseball. It is a crime if the Yankees and Red Sox don't finish the season against each other. Braves and Mets, or Braves and Phillies, or Phillies and Mets should finish the season against each other. And it should just be nothing but a round robin in the NL East. In the NL Central, you know, give me the Cardinals going head to head against the Brewers until someone else shows that they're going to be, you know, I could take Cardinals Cubs. Tonight's game, don't believe we have the lineup yet. I'm searching it real quick, and it doesn't appear that the lineups are out yet. So with that being said, essentially what you got tonight is you got Alcantara and you've got Bryce Elder. And I get that we've had our fair share of problems with Alcantara, and he's going off of extra rest. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes that gets a guy going. But he has not been himself this year. 5.47 ERA. 24 innings. 20 strikeouts. That's alarming. He's normally about a strikeout plus an inning guy. He's given up 2 home runs. And you never would have thought with these two teams coming in, there'd be Bryce Elder with the 1.14 ERA, 23 Ks through 23 innings. The Braves starting lineup has just dropped, so I'll go through that real quick. Pretty similar to what we had last night, but your boy Ozuna back in the lineup, and I don't know why in the hell he's back in the lineup. Let me see something real quick. All right, here is why Marcell Ozuna is in the lineup tonight. So this makes a little sense. And if he can't do it tonight, even though Alcantara is a very good pitcher, if he can't do it tonight, release him this evening by 11:30. I don't even want him to make it to Thursday morning. Marcell Ozuna lifetime against Alcantara, 7 of 16 with a 438 average, 2 RBIs, and only 3 strikeouts. If that isn't the definition of someone that owns someone, now he is batting 8th. So what you have right now, you got Acuna, who bats 280 lifetime on Alcantara. Matt Olson's 0 for 10 lifetime against Sandy. Austin Riley's just batting 174, 4 for 23. Looks like Murphy's never faced him. Rosario is 2 for 3 lifetime. He does have a home run. It's interesting. Ozzie Albies, 8 for 32, so 250, 6 RBIs, no home runs. Vaughn Grissom's 1 for 2. Ozuna, 7 of 16, like I mentioned. Sam Hilliard has faced him twice. He's 1 for 2. So all in all, the Braves have a pretty good clip on Alcantara. And I'm going to call it right now. I'm going to say the Braves win this one in a fairly low scoring game. I think Atlanta gets this game. They'll get enough runs to get through. Our bullpen's pretty well rested. We didn't use Minter last night. We didn't use Anderson last night. I think Atlanta gets this one 4-2 tonight. I think Bryce Elder is going to go out there and pitch his butt off. I see 6 innings out of Elder, 1, maybe 2 runs allowed, and that gives you a chance to win the game late. But Marcell Ozuna batting 438 against this cat. If he doesn't do it tonight, he is never going to do it. He's not going to do it tonight. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to get into a couple other things, and the Sarge is on the way. Going to talk some American League East here in just a few moments.
Try to stop smoking. That's a beauty, huh? Well, with cigarettes, my wife and I, we made a deal, my wife and I. We only smoke after sex. I've got the same pack now since 1975. What bothers me is my wife. She's up to 3 packs a day.
We're down to 1 strike here. It's 0-2. Gurriel, the last hope for the Houston Astros. And here's the 0-2 pitch. Swung on, bounced over to Dansby. Dansby fires it over to first. And here comes the dog pile. Fire the cannons in the battery. Do the chop, baby. All throughout Braves country, pop that top. Your Atlanta Braves have won it all!
Armchair.
You'll do anything to stay healthy. So isn't it time to think about your water? Aquasana water filters remove contaminants other filters don't, like lead, bacteria, viruses, and pesticides. Up to 99% of 88 contaminants, while leaving vital minerals you need, like potassium, calcium, and magnesium. Visit waterfilter.com now for pure, delicious water and the ultimate peace of mind. Aquasana. Better water, better you.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Your true friends are the people in your life that totally get your inside jokes, your unique style, most important, what you want to eat. Taco Bell knows that when you get together with your real friends, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but hey, it might as well be something that everybody can get into, like the taco and burrito cravings pack with four crunchy tacos and four beefy five-layer burritos. So even if you're all sitting around doing absolutely nothing, you know you'll still have a good time. It's Taco Bell's taco and burrito cravings pack. Get it for the friends that get it.
You're listening to WQEE. The Key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Welcome back. Atlanta Braves, middle of a four-game series with Miami Marlins. So we took the first two, so we're going for the series win tonight. And Ozuna's in the lineup. What could be better? I see Thomas is defending Ozuna. Ugh. Man, that is not the hill I'd want to die on, but, you know, you do you. I hate to tell you, Thomas, Ozuna's going to be gone. He gone. He will not make it till the end of May. I'd be shocked if he makes it to May, but he will not make it to the end of May. He is out of here. Good riddance. And I tried to defend him. Oh, my word, did I defend him. Told everyone to get off him. He's going to have a chance to come back. You got to give him an opportunity. Well, he's had his opportunities. And the main reason why I defended him in the past was because I knew they were going to bring him back this year. So what was the point of just killing a guy, right? Why not jump in there and say, look, we'll see how he does. He is, 73 ain't getting it done. And it would be different if he hit better last year. And you say he's starting off slow. He's not starting off slow. He's starting off Ozuna. They have recoined it, the Ozuna line, meaning the 100 line, and he's not even hitting the 100 line. So Braves will take on the Marlins tonight. And then tomorrow, game we'll have for you right here on Braves Country HD. And by the way, we are ramping up our broadcast schedule for the Braves. We're going to be bringing you more games if that's possible. We're going to try to bring you most games. Sundays are going to be tough. Those are going to be the one day that I don't foresee us doing a lot of ball games on. But the most of them, reworking my schedule out with work and whatnot, and we're going to try to bring you pretty much every game. Now, we'll make sure that we update everyone every week and let you know which games we're actually bringing. But the game plan is going to be about five, maybe even sometimes six games a week. And we've also got the morning show that's going to start dropping sometime in May. We're going to shoot for next week, but I don't know if it's going to be possible. But basically, that's going to be a recap of what happened the night before type of thing. And just kind of get you a cup of coffee and get you going in the morning. It's not going to be a real long show. And then the afternoon, we'll focus on what's going on that evening. But it's going to be a busy summer. It's going to be a fun summer because I think the Braves are going to keep playing some great baseball. And tomorrow, 12:20 first pitch, One thing I did want to take a look at real quick. So tomorrow's Kyle Wright versus Braxton Garrett. And though Braxton Garrett has pitched pretty well, he's a lefty. The Braves should win that game. So if they could win tonight, they could get the sweep. But when you look at what the series is going to look like for the Mets series, this is how it starts out. And tell me you don't love this. Friday night in Gotham, Max Fried goes the hill against David Peterson. And Peterson has pitched us difficult from time to time. That dude is 1-3 with a 7.36 ERA. Everyone stays healthy. Everyone gives out their best effort. We should win that game. Saturday's game, Spencer Strider versus Tyler McGill. I mean, come on. That's advantage Braves. McGill's not a bad pitcher. He's actually pretty solid. But the Braves should put some runs up on him. Sunday's matchup, Charlie Morton versus one of the most famous pitchers to ever take the mound, to be determined. He also goes by undecided on certain websites. So Charlie Morton's going to the hill, and if he pitches like he has the last couple of games, we should be in for a treat. And then Monday's game, that's... I'm showing Senga, Kodai Senga. But Max Scherzer is eligible to come off the IL. So I don't know if that's true. Now, Senga's pitching tonight. So he would line up against Max. He would line up for a Monday pitch. But if my math is right, you can't do Max Scherzer on Sunday because his suspension will not have expired. So if that's the case, other sites that I'm seeing, they have Max Scherzer listed. ESPN, who's usually pretty close to being on, has Kodai Senga listed. Either way you look at it, we won't face both of them, and those are by far the two best pitchers on the Mets staff right now. Verlander's coming. He's on the way. But that's setting up for Bryce Elder versus either Senga or Scherzer. That's their best chance to get a win, although I'll take my chances with Bryce Elder. Bryce Elder's pitched phenomenally. Kodai Senga is usually very good the first time through the lineup. The second time they see him, some teams have gotten to him, some haven't. He usually doesn't get very far past into the third time through the lineup because he's just that ghost pitch. Once you see it a couple of times, they're recognizing it out of his hand. And we talked about this in the preseason. It's what I thought would go down. But in the preseason, we talked about how Kodai Senga, first time you see him, he's going to be difficult to deal with. Well, let's see how he does, not just the second time through the order, third time through the order. But what about the second time you see him overall? What about when you see him later in the year? So I kind of want to face Senga just to get that through. I'd like to see the Braves face Senga just so that they see what that ghost pitch is about. They call it a ghost, but it's a forkball. But get them accustomed to seeing him because we've seen Scherzer and Scherzer's not the Scherzer that he was. He's still solid, but just like it's been the last couple of years against good offenses, just like Atlanta's, the second time through that lineup, Max Scherzer's much more gettable. And his velocity's down. That's why he was doing the whole spider tack thing. He is that's how the pitching matchups lay out for the Mets series. And yeah, when that's another good point, Nestor, is that when Arcia comes back, he's costing a different person his job. Ozuna will already be gone at that point. When Orlando Arcia comes back, they'll either have to make a decision. Do you send Grissom back down to develop more? Or has he done enough to take the starting position and Arcia is going to be your everyday platoon guy? He can DH, he can play second, he can play short, you can throw him in at third to give Riley a day off. He can play first base. He's done that before. And do you do that, or do you have him play short every day and let Grissom develop more? And I'll be honest with you, I don't have a strong opinion about it. Unless Grissom starts tearing the cover off the ball, I say I'm fine with either way. However they feel he'll develop better, we got to look at the long term for Vaughn Grissom. Ozuna's going to lose his job when a competitive bat comes back. And I think that's really more Travis d'Arnaud than when Travis d'Arnaud comes back, they'll probably send Trump back down just so he gets at bats. But it's really going to come down to, what do you value more? Do you want to hold on to Ozuna? Do you want to keep him in the fold? Or do you want to tell him to kick rocks and you keep an Eli White on the bench who can go play very good defense and is a heck of a base runner? We know he's not doing much with the stick, but neither is Ozuna. At least Eli White gives you speed and he gives you athleticism and he gives you a glove. Ozuna is a guy that can't hit, but he makes up for it by not being able to run or play defense. And he doesn't have much of an arm. But other than that, he's an outstanding baseball player. And it's great that we have him locked up for two more years for over $30 million. All right. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, Sarge is going to join us. We're going to be talking some American League East. Whew! Toronto just put a pounding on the White Sox. 8-0. That game is a final. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Talk a little more baseball and get you set for tonight. Keep it locked in here on The Key. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Major League Baseball here on Wednesday. You got a full slate. They're rocking and rolling in the NL East. Tonight, 7:20 Eastern, Marlins are at the Braves. Sandy Alcantara versus Bryce Elder. Braves are a minus 147 on the money line. Nationals and Mets, Mackenzie Gore versus Kodai Senga. Senga 3-0 on the year, 4.29 ERA. Gore 2-1 with a 3.43. The over-under is 8.5. And the Phillies are at home 6:40 against the Mariners. Logan Gilbert and Taijuan Walker go head-to-head. Full slate in the afternoon. We'll keep you up to date on the games going on. Early games include Red Sox and Orioles, Yankees and Twins, Tigers and Brewers, along with the Royals at the Diamondbacks at 3:40. This evening, Ronzi Contreras, 2-1 on the year, and the 16-8 Pirates take on the 13-11 LA Dodgers. 6:35 first pitch. Astros and Rays, the rubber match of their series. Hunter Brown to the hill for Houston. Foucher in a bullpen game for Tampa Bay. Padres and Cubs, Waka versus Smiley, 7:40 on the pitch. And at 9:38, it's the A's at the Angels. Sandoval goes to the hill for the Halos. In your late pitch tonight, Cardinals, Giants, back at it again after the San Francisco walk-off. Steven Matz on the hill for St. Louis. San Fran sends Disco Stick with his 1-1 and 2.63 ERA. In the National Basketball Association tonight, you got a handful of games. Lakers at Grizzlies, 7:30 on TNT. The second part of that TNT doubleheader is the Warriors at the Kings at 10. On NBA TV, they've got their own doubleheader. Knicks and Cavs at 7. Heat and Bucks at 9:30. Lakers, Heat, and New York Knicks all have a chance to close their series out while the Warriors and Kings are tied at 2 apiece. And out on the ice, the Bruins will try to close out the Panthers at 7 on ESPN. The doubleheader on the four-letter, cracking at the Avalanche. That series is knotted up at 2, heading into Colorado. And a bit of a head-scratcher, the Washington Commanders won't pick up the fifth-year option on defensive end Chase Young, making him a free agent after the season. This decision to not pick up Young's option also leaves Washington with two possible free agent defensive ends next season. The Commanders would like to work out an extension with Sweat, but if they don't, he and Young could both walk after the 2023 season. Rivera said he'd like to gauge Young's health coming off his 2021 knee injury and commitment. Young suffered a torn ACL in November of 2021, causing him to miss the final 7 games. He ruptured his patellar tendon, causing a longer recovery. Young returned for the final 3 games last season, recording 5 tackles, 1 quarterback hit, and no sacks. And former Ole Miss guard Amari Abram has committed to play at Georgia Tech next season. Abram picked Georgia Tech and coach Damon Stoudemire over offers from Georgia, LSU, Maryland, and Ohio State. Abram said of Stoudemire, "His read on my game was unique. He made it clear how he planned to utilize my strengths, as well as plan to help me improve in some of the areas I need to work on," unquote. Abram, a 4-star recruit coming out of high school, averaged 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 21 minutes per game as a Rebel. He elected to transfer after head coach Kermit Davis was fired in late February. And the Tennessee Titans hope to open a brand new stadium by 2027. The Metro Nashville City Council approved a 26-12 vote early Wednesday morning on the final reading to allow its sports authority to issue $760 million in bonds. That combines with the $500 million in state bonds for more than a $1.2 billion in public financing committed to the Titans Stadium. Stadium will be enclosed. That gives Tennessee the largest public price tag for a stadium, topping the $850 million commitment from New York to the Buffalo Bills' new $1.5 billion stadium. The stadium total cost is expected to be $2.1 billion. The Titans, with help from the NFL and personal seating license, will provide the remaining $840. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
You know what your problem is? Your face.
Yeah, right.
Come on, wise up, man. You're too good looking. These girls go out with you and they get nervous, man. They feel dumpy. They don't want to compete. Best thing that can happen to you is an industrial accident.
Welcome back. Hour number 2. And if you're tired of hearing about the New York Jets finalizing a trade with Aaron Rodgers, you are home, my friend. How are you, Mr. Timus Wood?
Good. How are you doing?
Say that again.
I said I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I know the Red Sox just lost. What was it, 6-2?
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see that. Now, who was going for the Red Sox today?
Hauk.
Okay, that's right. Tanner Hauk versus... See, Kramer went yesterday. I'm trying to remember who it was that was pitching for them.
Well, the first 5 innings, it was apparently Cy Young. Lord have mercy, that guy was good. Then he gave up some base hits, and they came and got him because of the pitch count, but...
Tyler Wells.
Yeah, he... all of those Orioles were flat out throwing. I mean, they're a much improved team, man. They are not the doormats that we've come to know and love.
So I know I've talked about this a few times, but they're one of the teams that I bet on beginning of the season on the over under on their win rate,
mm-hmm.
on their win number, and their over under was 77.5, which means that you're saying that they're going to be around five games under 500, and I just didn't buy it. So I put a little chunk of change on the Orioles. So far, so good.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, if they can last throughout the season, but they're playing good baseball right now. I'm glad we didn't get swept. but
I'm looking good in that one. I'm not looking as good in the Giants, although they have won three in a row, but they're three games under 500. They got to get to the 82 mark clip. That's going to be tough. I didn't expect them to start out as poorly as they did, but the Orioles bet and the Minnesota Twins to win the division bet looks pretty good. Doesn't look good today. They got pounded by the Yankees 12-6, but on most days, the Twins have looked pretty good.
Yankees feast on the Twins.
Kenta Maeda is just an absolute fraud at this point. I don't even know what he's still doing in a starting rotation on a division contender. He's 0-4 now. So we're talking about a decent sample size. 0-4 with a 9 ERA.
Ooh.
I mean, when you let Domingo Germán shut you down, you're not doing it big. I'll tell you another guy who's got to get kicked out of the rotation. The hell are the White Sox doing with his Michael Kepik? Who, look, I know when he came up, he was their phenom. He was the number one prospect in baseball at one point. And he actually did pretty well in their bullpen. And then they decided, well we're going to put you in the rotation. Sarge, he's 0-3 with the 7.01 ERA. He's got basically two pitches. He tries to throw a third or a fourth, but they're both flat.
That's not a very strong division either, is it?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Now, he got pounded today by a good offense in the Blue Jays, but I couldn't run to the window fast enough to bet on Toronto today. I had them as a part of a – was that straight up or – I think that was a parlay. But I know I hit it because I already checked it off.
You know, I've picked them to take it this year. I think Toronto is going to be a force. I really do. I think they're better than the Yankees. I did not expect stupid Rays to come out 20-4, but I'm not sure the Rays expected to come out 20-4, no matter what they say in front of a camera. I think a lot of them are shocked as well.
I've got them as the second part of a parlay tonight. Need the Pittsburgh plus 1.5 is the second part of that parlay, but I do think that they're going to play well. I do think that they're going to be an exciting team, but once again, I'm not convinced that the Blue Jays have the pitching top to bottom, and so that's why I'm still skeptical on Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Do they have an elite pitching staff? No, especially. I just think they're gonna. They're kind of like the Yankees in this way, is that they just hit the ball. You know, if they give up five runs, it's okay to them because they just hit and hit and hit and. If they stay healthy,
they're kind of the opposite of the Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays look at it as it's fine if we only score three runs. You're not scoring more than one.
Doesn't matter to them. No, that's a stingy baseball team. We couldn't get out of Tampa fast enough last week. Oh my!
Did I call it or did I call it? I told you were staring down the barrel of a sweep. I went back and I was listening to that part of our show. It just randomly popped up when I was scrolling through YouTube and it started playing. So I ended up listening to a good part of that. And I was like, oh my God, I was too right on this one, man. Yeah.
That was brutal.
Yeah, that pitching. Now that's an elite pitching staff.
And they don't even have their ace right now. Last fall, they hope to be back in about 6 weeks.
That's the stupid thing about Tampa. I could not tell you a starter for that team. I just know they're all good.
Well, that's ridiculous that you don't know a starter on the best team in your division, but that's a different topic for a different
team. I'm working a lot of hours these days. It's hard.
I don't want to hear it, man. Baseball takes precedence over everything.
Well, tell that to my master sergeant. I'm with you, but I think he would disagree.
I will. I mean, not in the same room, but I will.
It's pretty safe down here in Jacksonville.
I got mind control over Debo. Yeah.
I do not.
He tells me to shut up. I'd be talking again as soon as he leaves.
Yeah. I'm just going to put my chain inside. That's what I do. He comes and takes it off every time.
Oh, mercy. So looking at the standings of the, by the way, Royals and Diamondbacks, that's the one game going on right now. They're scoreless in the second, I think they're in the second. Yeah, bottom of the second. Man, the catcher for Kansas City has an absolute hose. He just gunned some cat down at second base. The guy had a pretty darn good jump. It was a one hopper right there. I mean, it was a Johnny Bench special is what that was.
Awesome.
So the bad news is you're in last place. The worst news is you're 8 games back.
Uh-huh.
The silver lining, you're a game and a half behind the Yankees. And you're 13-13. It's not like you're at the bottom of the division, 6 games under 500.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's like,
I'm trying to help you out, man.
I mean, I'm
feeling it.
Effort, but that doesn't help at all. We're still in last place. We're still 8 games out. And yeah, it is nice that the Yankees are in fourth place, but we're in fifth. So, I mean, it's, and you know what? This is what I was expecting. There's always that in the back of my, you know, that real big hope, that Red Sox thing that we have, that we just, this is our year. We're going to show everybody. I know it's not going to happen, but it's just hard to watch. Sometimes it's really hard to watch. I still watch them. I love them, but it's going to be a long season for me.
Got a question from one of our viewers asking about the best website to bet on. I'm going to send a link here in 1 second. I haven't done that in a while, but I'll send a link. It gives you like a sign up bonus and everything. Want to make sure that it's still valid and all that kind of stuff, that it's still there. We got the standings right there. Let me just zoom out a little bit so it can be seen just a little easier. There you go. Looking at these standings, I mean, at this point, I'm not saying the division's over.
No.
But it's over.
No, come on. It's over for the Sox, but it's not.
Yeah. I'm talking about for your.
Oh, yeah. That's over. Yeah.
I don't see.
It would take a monumental collapse by like 3 teams, and we would have to catch lightning in a bottle for the next 5 months. Is it possible? Meh. Is it going to happen? No. No, no, no. If you're talking about the. Yeah, it's over for us. I don't see us making the wild card, honestly, but.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There is. There's all.
Now, wait a minute. The wild card is not out of the realm of possibility.
We'd have to leap the Yankees, Toronto, and Baltimore.
Okay. But you're only 4 games behind Baltimore, who, and we're in April. We're not in late September.
Right. I mean, there's a chance. Again, they would have to start playing poorly. We would have to play much, much better. We would have to pitch much better.
Well, I think the other thing is, and I think this is key for anybody that wants to make the playoffs in baseball, especially, but, you know, basketball, hockey, not so much football because you play such few games. But I think one of the keys, especially now that there's three wild cards, when you play a bad team, because you know the Royals are coming onto your schedule, you know that you're going to play games against the Oakland A's, et cetera, et cetera. You got to dominate those series.
Yeah.
Collect as many wins as you can, because if we go to, let me see if we have it. We have your division. We got league, or they do have a wild card set up here already. I wasn't sure if they did or not. All right. Wild card right now, the Yankees. Hey, Boston's a game and a half behind the Yankees. Game behind Houston.
Yeah, what's happening there? I saw that the other day, and I thought it was
I don't want to talk about the Houston Astros. They came in and cleaned our clocks. that damn one ball that their left fielder or DH Alvarez hit is still rolling down Peachtree somewhere. But the point is, the Astros have started off. They're only 13 and 11.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like, but we did talk about them in the spring training, and we're like, how many years can they maintain that? And we both that this was probably the year they were going to fall off a little bit. And maybe they're just coming out slow. We don't know. I mean, again, it's still April, but I don't know. It's been nothing but Houston in that division for so long, you know. At least we beat the Brewers.
Well, that's no small feat there. I mean, look, I don't think it's a situation where it's time to panic yet. And look, the season's a grind, man. And you're going to have your hiccups just like we got swept. That was the first time we'd been swept at home since we were swept at home by the Blue Jays in 2021. And when we got swept at home by the Blue Jays in 2021, I'm going to tell you right now, I felt like that we were a team that had no chance of doing any damage anywhere, because they didn't just beat us. They beat us to a pulp in that series and on our home stage. And we ended up winning the World Series that year. So what your team looks like in April, and I want to say that series was around April or May. What your team looks like in April is not what it's necessarily going to unfold. It's a long season.
Yeah. I mean, prime example, 04. You know, we were 500 in June.
You're bringing up like pre-Facebook years.
Yeah. We still won it all, though.
Did you? Because if you didn't celebrate it on Facebook, did you really?
Well, that is true. Yeah. But
you know, I don't think any of those Yankees championships count.
I don't count them, but I don't.
They've only been able to tweet out a championship one time. So we're tied with the Yankees the way I look at it.
Well, we're ahead of if that's the case, then, because yeah.
Yeah, ish. Yeah.
We've won three since the book was out, so. Not right. Far or anything, but.
The Bambino is dead.
Say again?
I said the curse of the Bambino is dead.
Yes, it is, finally. Thank God.
All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. It's 4:20. Smoke them if you got them. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
Armchair Quarterback Radio, your home for the SEC.
Back third down on the 8. In trouble. Got a block behind him. Going to throw on a run. Complete to the 25. To the 30. Lindsey Scott, 35, 40. Run, Lindsey. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Lindsey Scott. Lindsey Scott. Lindsey Scott.
SEC. SEC.
Armchair.
Dixie Handle Company, 5 generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
Coach, how do you feel about your past season?
Well, it's been a very rewarding season for us. It's one that I would not have been able to lay my job on the line saying we were going to win 9 ball games. I couldn't have done it before the year. And it's been we were hoping definitely to have a winning season, you know, for the first time in a long time. And it's just been an excellent season as far as the way things turned out are concerned.
Well, can you say how you brought a losing Florida State team around to be a winning one?
No, I can't. Number one, we've got some real fine assistant coaches that I think know what they're doing, and they work very hard at football, spend a lot of time on it. And even more important than that is the attitude of our players who knew what they wanted to accomplish and had confidence that they could do it and were willing to work.
Armchair.
Make sure to listen to the Armchair Quarterbacks. Primetime, drive time. The Armchair Quarterbacks are good enough for us down here in the bayou. The old Tigers and the Armchair Quarterback.
Welcome back. Braves Country today. Brought to you by absolutely no one.
Come on!
And we are... See, we'll get into tonight's games in a second, but we've got some pretty interesting... So, the Red Sox... That was the end of the Orioles series, wasn't it? It was. Okay, so Boston is going to, this weekend,
have Cleveland at Fenway.
And I haven't gone through all the... I'm going to pull up the pitching matchups here in a second. By the way, do you have any plans on making it to Fenway anytime soon?
No, works. We're not really in a position to take leave and stuff like that. So maybe not. I mean, I'm really hoping for Labor Day, my birthday, to shoot over there, you know, because it's a 4-day weekend. I mean, we're working 14, 16-hour days right now, so it doesn't look good.
All right, so Boston this weekend, Pivetta, Whitlock, and Sale on the mound. And then here comes Toronto.
Now, that's a 4 game against Toronto. Woo. And it's Kluber, Pivetta, Whitlock. They're not going to see Sale.
Right.
Which, okay, let me... What are you doing throwing in the dugout and hitting things with your pitching hand? What is wrong?
Yeah, well, I didn't get what he was doing. Now, he didn't get injured on that, right?
Not yet, but I mean, the guy is not made of he's not tough. So, I mean, come on. You cannot be doing that. You just can't. He's punching with his pitching hand the igloo.
That's what Waskari Noah did for Atlanta. Was that 2021, I think it was? I'm pretty sure it was 21 because I don't think it was 19. So 2021, Waskari Noah at the time, around June, you could have made the argument was the best pitcher on the Atlanta Braves staff. in the is a game in Milwaukee where he walks up and punches the bench, breaks a bone in his hand, has to go back through rehab. He's never been the same since. He's still down on the farm. They tried to bring him back with the bullpen later that year, and he was okay a couple of spots, but the rest of the time he really wasn't. It's unbelievable that a pitcher would do that.
Chris Sale knows better.
Now, a four-year-old knows better. It's your pitching hand.
Right. And he's had these weird, I was on a bike and I did a wheelie, broke my wrist kind of injuries. And now he's going to go and do the, yeah, we knew he was a head case. I mean, remember when he took the scissors to that old school jersey in Chicago and stuff? Yeah. Guys.
I actually kind of forgot about that, but yes.
Yeah. He's from the same county I am. I know what we used to play his school. And when I was, I know these boys ain't, you know, nobody's working for NASA from Polk County. I get that. But you have got to stop doing dumb things. Just stop. Why are you punching anything? And why are you doing it with your pitching hand? Come on, man. We're not in enough trouble already.
Not a smart one, that guy. I can say it. I mean, these guys, they get all kinds of into their situation. They get frustrated. But I call it, they go all Paul O'Neill. Because you remember Paul O'Neill used to beat the hell out of coolers with bats and all that kind of stuff. Just lose his mind. And I always hated him for that. It had nothing to do with caring about the Yankees and all the guys. I just hate it because I'm like, what? You struck out. Why are you beating the hell out of a cooler?
Yeah,
you're doing it because you're trying to say that, oh, I should never strike out. I'm the greatest thing ever. No, play better. Focus on that. I never one time saw Greg Maddux do what Chris Sale did.
Well, that's because it was so rare that Maddux had an outing like that.
When he did.
He did. He got
pounded in the playoffs, and that happened more times than I like to recall. I never saw Maddux go in there and lose his brain and put his pitching hand in jeopardy.
And, you know, in spring training, Chris Sale, like, tore television off the wall.
This year?
Yeah.
Oh, what a dunce.
And, like, punched the TV or something, yanked it with not threw a glove at it, and it just shattered the TV screen.
Why was somebody saying something mean about him?
No. He went out.
Was it us? Did they have YouTube going? Yeah. Like, what a bum.
He
Bean.
About
down, String Bean.
Yeah. Chris, I love you, but you gotta act better. You gotta start thinking, man. We all get frustrated with ourselves, but you can't. That hand is worth so much.
He's not the unhittable freak that he used to be.
No.
So he's having to basically process all that.
Right.
I mean, was he 32, 33, somewhere in that neighborhood?
In his early 30s. Maybe he has to figure out a way to do what Kluber did. You know, he's not throwing 100 anymore. Start.
34. He's 34 now. Wow.
What are we paying him a year? 30 something?
Too much.
Way too much. Yeah.
Not quite as worthless as Ozuna, but you are paying him more. So that could be a strong debate.
Yeah. He's making it really hard for me to cheer.
We'll trade you Ozuna for Chris Sale.
Mm-mm. No, thank you.
And my plan is to put Chris Sale as designated hitter, not that. Not to have him out there.
Well, my plans are not to put Ozuna on the mound, so.
You get a better chance of winning.
It's a toss-up at this point. I mean, come on, man. I saw him do that, and I've said my piece about it. I'll shut up about it, but it's just stupid. It's really.
It looks like in that series you'll go up against Berrios, Kikuchi, who sucks. He's 3-0, but don't let that fool you. He's had some very fortuitous matchups. So it'll be Berrios, Kikuchi, and then I'm thinking it's Manoah and Gausman in the back of that. It is.
Yeah. And we got Kluber, Houck, Pivetta, and Whitlock. And Kluber, hopefully he turned a corner. He pitched very well and yesterday. And he had, just sick 12-6 movement. It was,
If it makes you feel any better, Tampa Bay is about to start a 4-game series against the White Sox, and then they'll welcome in the Pittsburgh Pirates. And
that does make me feel better. Thanks. Yeah.
They're going to have 30 wins before the rest of the division has 15.
The only hope I have is that they just burn so bright, they burn out come September and things like that.
Remember last year until around mid-July, nobody could beat the New York Yankees? You remember that?
Yeah, until the All-Star break, really.
They were ready to crown them.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, around August, July, well, maybe it was July going into August, but I know going into June, by the end of June, folks were ready to crown them. July, August, and then, of course, September.
Yeah, I mean, until the All-Star break.
They were like not even a 500 team.
It was the All-Star, until the All-Star break, they were unbeatable. And then all cracks in their armor just showed after the All-Star break for whatever reason. And by August, nobody was intimidated by the New York Yankees last year.
This Zach Gallen, by the way, it's pitching for Arizona right now. And no one's going to really know much about him because he plays for the Diamondbacks. And, you know, they're not a big market. They play out west. They play late. Dude, he is filthy. He's mowing down Kansas City, which I know is not a big feat. But he is absolutely filthy. If Arizona doesn't back up the truck, somebody will. And he's got Cy Youngs in his future.
Please, Boston, go get this guy.
I mean, he is just – I've been a fan of him for a couple of years just from the whole fantasy baseball aspect of it. I've never actually gotten him on my team because someone grabbed him and they just hit him. But, man, he's just nasty. 3-1 with a 2.59 ERA this year. 39 strikeouts. I'm trying to see how many innings he's pitched. Thanks, ESPN. I love doing math on the fly. It looks like around 26, 27. No, 20, about 30 innings, 39 strikeouts. And 0.80 whip. Oh, for folks who don't know what that is, it's walks plus hits divided by innings pitch, which means he's giving up less than one honest base runner an inning. And to give you an idea of what's good, what's considered good, 1.2 and below. Great is anywhere close to 1. 0.8 is like minuscule.
And aren't they playing the Dodgers and the Padres?
Not right now, but yes, typically.
Yeah.
Garrett says he went to North Carolina. I did not know that. He's from Somerdale, New Jersey. Just 27 years old. Oof. Keep him out west. That's all I can say. I don't want any of that smoke.
I don't want him wearing pinstripes, I can tell you that.
He has, I pulled up his contract to see when he might be a free agent. He's got after 2025, so he'll be 29. Right there in that wheelhouse. Somebody's got to back up the truck.
Oh, yeah.
And he made 5.6 on his arbitration salary this year. Next year, I bet you he's around double digits. So he's not even at that point where it's going to make sense for him to sign an extension, right?
If he'll probably this, and he knows there's, I mean, who doesn't want a pitcher with those kind of numbers? I mean, as long as he's not out whooping his wife's behind or anything, you know, or causing trouble, people, they're, I mean, there's going to be 5-6 teams easily coming after him.
Yeah, unrestricted free agent in 2026 or after the 25 season. Yeah, he's going to be, man, he's going to be an absolute monster. Oh, guess who his agent is?
Scott Boras.
Yes, the Boras Corporation. Is it right there? Oh, it's over. That guy's getting 150 if he's getting a dime.
Yeah, just to stay in shape. Stupid Scott Boras.
That's all I need to see to go, well, Braves aren't getting that guy.
Yeah, Sox aren't paying half that for anybody. I mean, we're paying Chris Sale that.
Buddy, you have fun out in Los Angeles or New York. Or...
Yeah, he'll be a Dodger. Maybe a Philly or a Padre. They seem to be spending a lot of money, but Sox aren't.
Man, that's wow.
How many years do you think Chaim Bloom has left in Boston if it's going like this?
I mean, I don't understand why he's still there.
I don't either. I know John Henry thinks he hung the moon, but
the only signing that I would say that he did a great job with this year, the guy's hurt, and that's Adam Duvall.
Yeah.
Yoshida, it's still too early to really cast a sink or swim on him, but he hasn't really came out the gates like I thought he might.
He had a good week.
Yeah, so did I around 1993, I think it was.
I'm trying to find anything positive to say here.
No one gave me a great contract for that one good week I had.
Yeah. I ain't as good as I once was.
I wasn't even as good as that. Man, that's... But I'll tell you what, though, when you look at this coming weekend going into next week, that the series, the most fun series that there is, the New York Yankees are heading to Texas.
Ooh.
And Jacob DeGrom is going to be on the mound Friday night.
But did you see the Cincinnati Reds just swept Texas?
The Cincinnati Reds are not a joke, man. I keep trying to tell people this. We swept the Reds, won every game by one run. And that was in Atlanta. They have got a good young offense, top of their order. Now, the bottom of their order is less to be desired. But they've got some good arms. I don't trust their bullpen, so from time to time they're going to blow leads. But they've got some good young pitchers. Hunter Green, Lodolo. I mean, they can. I'll tell you what, those Pittsburgh Pirates, man, they're for real. They are for real. They're going to be scrappy bunch.
I don't see that.
They're going to get their butts handed to them in Tampa, but they're going to be a scrappy bunch.
Boy, that
they're going to beat the Dodgers tonight, and the Dodgers have Tony Gonsolin going to the mound. If you get a chance to check that game out. Because I know you got the MLB ticket and everything. Check out the pitcher on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight, Ronzi Contreras. He is absolutely dealing. And that is such a bad division. Nobody's going to run away and hide. Were the Pirates going to go out there and win the World Series? No, but they're going to be relevant to the end. They're going to be up there. They're going to make it interesting enough to where when we get to the All-Star break, trading deadline, it's going to be tough for them to deal away, guys. And if you missed it, they just locked up their young stud, Brian Reynolds, to an 8-year deal, which they've never done that before.
Wasn't he the one that was wanting a trade in spring training?
Yeah. They just gave him 8 years, I believe it was, potential $120 million because there's a last year $20 million option. But they became, there were four teams, now there's just three in Major League Baseball that have never given a contract over $100 million. The Pirates were on that list, now they're off of it.
I'm sure the Rays are one of them.
No. That's no, because remember the Rays gave the big contract to Wandy Franco last year?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So the first two you'll easily get. I talked about it on yesterday's show, but I doubt you watched it. The two you'll, the first two, I'll just give them to you. Kansas City and the Oakland A's, right?
That makes
a shocker. The third team that has never cut a $100 million check to any of their employees.
Let me think first. Hold on.
I'm going to give you three guesses.
Okay. It's not Arizona. It's not the Dodgers. It's not the Padres.
Well, just shoot some guesses out here.
St. Louis.
What's that?
St. Louis.
St. Louis has.
St. Louis has?
Yes. St. Louis has like a $300 million deal with, what's his name? The third baseman. Arenado. Plus Goldschmidt and everything.
Not the Angels. And maybe the Giants tried to and didn't get to?
The Giants have.
The Giants
have. The third one is not one you would think of because you'd be like, what? Why are they spending any money? Shocked me.
Okay.
Until I saw it, and then I go, oh, yeah. I guess they really haven't.
The Cubs.
Close. The White Sox. And that's alarming because that is one of the largest markets in all of Major League Baseball.
But it is split, though.
So are the Mets and the Yankees.
No, well, they are kind of similar because the Cubs own Chicago. And the White Sox own the South Side. And the Mets, but there's plenty of Yankee fans. So I could, it's believable. I wouldn't have picked. It's believable. Having lived there and seen the way that city is with baseball, I mean, it's a Cubs town. That for sure.
What it comes down to is the ownership.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chicago is the third largest city in the United States by population and by television.
That traffic would make me agree with
it. New York and LA outrank Chicago. Houston's a close fourth.
Yeah, it's big. It's
alarming that they've never had $100 million.
I mean, what kind of big names do they have right now that would warrant something like that?
Well, at one point they had Chris Sale.
That's true.
They traded him away.
Yeah.
They have had some big names in the past, but they always let them walk or they trade them away.
Yeah. Kind of like the Rays. I can't believe the Rays aren't on that list.
Well, the Rays went out and got, you know, put the big money into Wander Franco.
Yeah. That's probably the only one, though, right? I can't. I mean, they didn't give that to the Desperate Housewife, did they?
It was right at there. I don't think it was either 98 or 108. I can't remember. It was right in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Zach Eflin deal that they just had was a decent AAV, but it wasn't a very long deal.
We've done it. Panda, that worked.
The Panda had a better career in Atlanta than he did in Boston.
Oh, do you think? Are you sure? Man, I don't know if you ever laughed more in one season than you did at me when we signed that fat non-salad-eating. Nope, it's playing.
You don't make friends with salad. Friends with salad.
Oh my god, you woke me
their
up.
Their biggest contracts. Heck, one of their biggest ones for the Tampa Bay Rays was Charlie Morton. That was a 2-year, $30 million deal.
That sounds about right.
I don't even remember them doing this. They gave Greg Vaughn. Remember Greg Vaughn?
The pitcher?
No, the outfielder, Greg Vaughn. I mean, this is 20-something years ago. Has to be. He signed a 4-year, $34 million contract. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, $8 million back then isn't – that's a lot more than it is right now.
That was actually pretty competitive.
But the rest of them back then were like AAA, so they were making what? League minimum? They could afford it?
Yeah, that was in December of 1999.
Yeah. Yeah. They've doubled their attendance since then. Now they're sporting 1,500 a game.
2002, he would be released. The Rays would pay the last $10 million of his contract not to play. So Greg Vaughn is the reason why everybody doesn't get paid in Tampa. Wilson Alvarez, remember him? He signed a $35 million deal with the Rays.
How much did they give Price?
I don't have. Well, they traded him.
I mean, these players aren't what David Price was, and that other kid, oh my God, would just mow people down.
They traded Price over to what, Detroit?
Yeah, and then we got him.
Man, that was another bust. Y'all are still paying that contract. I saw a list the other day, and he's one of the highest paid players in Major League Baseball.
He's retired. He's not even playing anymore.
Don't worry. Ozuna's next. Let's take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap this puppy up, talk about tonight's games here on Braves Country. Be back in a flash.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins.
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give Mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites.
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you-know-what, you-know-who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients. No high fructose corn syrup and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites.
There you go.
Yes.
Entenmann's Little Bites muffins. The perfect portion of happiness.
Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. We'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
$40 games at $50 a piece? That's like $2,000.
Per seat.
Per seat? How many seats did you buy?
One. And the one next to it.
That's $4,000.
Unless they get in the playoffs, because for some reason playoff tickets are more money than regular seats. They'll never make it. What am I talking about? They're a lousy team this year.
You spent $4,000 on a lousy team?
Well, let me explain something to you about basketball. You cannot get season tickets like this with a good team. You got to ride out the bad years, hoping for a good one.
That's what you said 17 years ago when I married you, and I'm still waiting for a good one.
Welcome back. Arizona leads Kansas City 1-0. They just popped out, so they're heading to the fifth inning. So, are you one of these ones that only watches the Red Sox? You don't tune in on other games?
Correct.
That's why you don't know anything.
It's hard enough to fight my wife off about the Red Sox. So
he's not paying attention. You just tell the Red Sox are playing when you're watching Yankees Rangers this weekend.
That's not a hill I'm willing to die on, Daddy.
You sound like you just have a peachy keen life there. Okay. let's get into tonight's action. Because if Tinkus keeps getting caught talking about this, there won't be any action tonight. Yeah.
I got a surrender.
Okay.
Frozen Rays game looks like it'll be fun.
Of course. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give my lock of the night. I'm taking the Pittsburgh Pirates +1.5 at home. Runs and Contreras on the mound versus Gonsolin. They have played the Dodgers well, and I think they'll bounce back and get a W tonight. But if they don't, I'll still have that 1.5 in my pocket. I'll tell you another one that I do like as well. Mackenzie Gore, Kodai Senga going to the hill for Nats Mets. The over-under is 8.5. I really like the under in that game. Because Gore has pitched much better this year. Kind of more of what they were hoping to get when they made the trade. And Senga has been pretty darn good as well. I don't see that being a very high-scoring game tonight. I mean, look, Washington won last night, and they only scored 5 runs. So,
how are the Cubs favored to win over the Padres?
That's a little strange to me, but a lot of it is recency bias. And you got to realize, last time out, Drew Smyly almost threw a perfect game against, I believe it was the Dodgers. Now, I'm not a believer in Drew Smyly because I watched him unravel here in Atlanta.
And Boston.
And towards the end, Smyly was a bullpen guy for us.
Us too.
And I don't dislike him at all. Everything he did for Atlanta was, I mean, he pitched some big innings for us. But for me to go out there and put money on the Cubs, yeah. But the problem is Waka is very Jekyll and Hyde. You never know what you're going to get from him. So I'm steering clear of that game. I'm steering clear of the St. Louis-San Francisco game. A lot of folks are liking St. Louis on the money line tonight. Steven Matz versus Disco Stick, Anthony DiSclafani. I'm entitled just to stay away, or inclined just to stay away from that, because Disco Stick pitches pretty well at home. And Matz has not pitched that well. And the Cardinals bullpen blew another one last night.
Disco Stick is such a great name. It sounds like a B-level superhero from the 70s or something.
Well, he actually played his college ball at Florida.
Go Gators.
Yeah. I'd say the big game tonight, Houston and Tampa, but I'm steering clear of that one because I don't know what to make of this. It's a bullpen game for Tampa. Hunter Brown's on the hill for the Astros. Brown, it's got pretty good stuff, but we all saw you can get to him. Atlanta had him on the ropes on Friday, and then they never put the knockout punch on him. He gave up 4 early, and then they let him regather himself, and the Astros come back and won that game. But Tampa Bay's playing really good baseball. If I was going to go one way or the other, I'd probably take Tampa Bay minus the 113, but I'm going to steer clear of that one tonight.
And it's at Tampa?
Yeah. So at least 6, 7, maybe even 8 people will be there in the stands. Right.
Not going to be – I mean, good news is the Astros don't have to wear earplugs. So
I love these stupid articles and videos that are coming out. Poor woe is me to the Athletics fans. And this is just, man, this is so 2023. The fans have not shown up there for years. And I mean years. And granted, they haven't spent money, but I get it. But they have not shown up. They haven't been competitive in several years. And everyone wants to feel bad for the Oakland A's fan who has not sold that place out in 20 years.
There's no way it hasn't been sold out in 20 years.
It hasn't, outside of a playoff game.
Even during the Moneyball season, when they won like 106 games in a row or something?
That's over 20 years ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow. What was I smoking back then? Gracious damn. Woo.
And you got to realize, too, it's a football stadium. So it's a really big place. But the point is, to continue to say, poor woe is me, athletics fans, if you're an A's fan and you don't live in Oakland, you ought to be happy because you're about to move to an area where they're going to be supported, not just by the gates, but also the television revenue. And you're going to be able to compete for titles out there. The Las Vegas A's are going to be very relevant.
Yeah, they're moving to Vegas next year, right?
It'll be a little longer. I think it's 26 or 27. Because they got to build a stadium. But the same argument I have with the Marlins, when they finally take their butts either to Nashville or to Montreal, is go time. And that, and the news that broke this morning coming out of Nashville, that they just got approved for a dome facility, football stadium, the new stadium for the Titans. And they've been trying to get a baseball team. Wouldn't shock me if they try to build that into a multi-facility place.
As long as the Marlins leave that ugly Elton John monstrosity at center field in Miami, you're going to send them anywhere.
Yeah, it's the same stupid argument I have with Marlin fans all the time.
Oh,
man, when we're good, we put people. No, you don't.
No.
You kind of show up for the playoffs, but no, you don't. What's the deal with Tampa Bay Rays? They don't show up. They need one team in Florida. It needs to be in Orlando. Take the other two teams and get them out.
Maybe
these games, and you're blocking us from being able to see the games. I'd rather just be blocked from one team than both teams.
Yeah.
It's absurd that Florida has zero fan base with the Marlins and the Rays. They got two teams. I still say take the Rays because they're the better organization. Put them in Orlando. Take the Marlins and kick them either to Nashville or Montreal. And then, because there's going to be two expansion teams coming in the near future.
Yeah, I think Montreal is going to be one of them if I remember right.
If they don't get the Marlins, yeah. But give the Marlins to Montreal, that's fine with me. And then let the Nashville team put them in the AL Central most likely. And then you'll have one more expansion team. They talk about Charlotte, but I don't think they would do anything. What is your walk-off? We got a jam.
I have two. Number one, wanted to let you know, Cleveland Guardians called me this week and they asked me to sing the national anthem and God Bless America on Memorial Day, May 28th. It's a Sunday game. And two, have you put my face on the opening yet?
Yes. And because you haven't watched it, you'll have to believe that. We'll see you tomorrow, guys. Braves 12-21st pitch, and then we go live 3-5. Long broadcast day tomorrow. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Ha! Ha!
You're listening to WQEE. 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia.